Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
And that's the funny thing about it. Sometimes when issues are this serious, we don't have a conversation about them. You state your case, you stand your ground, and you just move on. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests on the Goodyear Hotline. Back to the big story in just a few minutes about Phillip Rivers retiring from the NFL. Kyrie mentioned a conversation. You think one thing about Kyrie, and it's really hard for you to think anything else. He's a polarizing guy. That's the way it is in sports. But after missing seven straight games, could be back in action tonight. The Nets are going to be in Cleveland. Of course, a place he knows well, a team for which he hit one of the greatest shots in NBA history. Oftentimes, Kyrie said he's misunderstood, doesn't really want to open up to me or you or anybody. He doesn't have to. That's not his prerogative. But he did say this yesterday after practicing with his return anticipated tonight. This was raw, honest, visceral. It might be a little standoffish, but this is who he is, and he's being totally honest about it.
When you take a break from everything, there's just so many assumptions about what's going on. And so many people feel like they know me best. They have no idea who I am, nor what I'm about, or what I stand for, or even attempt to take the time, or even for me to invite them to take the time. So it's a two-way street. And when things become overwhelming in life, you know, you just got to take a step back and realize what's important. And I love to play. That's never been questioned. I've committed myself.
Jay, what do you make of that? That's pretty real.
You know, when this whole thing first came out, that's why I said I needed context. There were a lot of people that jumped the gun about Kyrie needs to, you know, quit playing basketball, or I know Stephen A said that he needed to retire. And I know what Stephen A was talking about. I just don't know how life affects everybody. And I think that was one of the biggest things for Kai. Now, I don't think that excuses the lack of communication that he had with the likes of Sean Marks and the organization. But at the same time, if Kyrie addressed these issues with his teammates and addressed these issues with the front office, then at the end of the day, that's all that matters. That's all that matters. And it does continue to remind me, and I think a lot of us, that we live in a very sensationalizing, polarizing society where things become inflamed very quickly. Now, granted, I think a little bit of that is on Kyrie Irving, too. But Key, we talk about this headlines and clicks and the polarizing subject matters that we talk about in order to get people to lure in. Like, one of the things we don't talk about enough is the fact that Kyrie Irving has paid for tuition for 9 HBCU kids at Lincoln University, or the fact that he's bought George Floyd's family a home after dealing with that scenario, or the fact that he's donated $1.5 million to the WNBA for those players that chose to opt out due to pre-existing conditions or issues that they didn't feel comfortable with as it relates to family members. There isn't enough attention focused on the positive things that people are doing in the world, because we like to focus on issues that are just affecting the team or basketball, and they become very quickly hypersensitive and issues that get blown out of proportion. I'm not saying that this didn't deserve to go to the point it did because of the miscommunication, but at the same time, we're not focusing attention on the positive things people do in the community as well.
Yeah, you know, the communication with the teammates in the front office at the time that we were trying to figure out what Kyrie was doing, I had no preconceived notions at all, because I'm the type of person, I'm a wait. You know me, Jay. I'm going to take a wait and see approach. I'm not diving into it head first because everybody else all of a sudden makes a decision that Kyrie is not, you know, communicating with a team, because clearly he was doing something. He wasn't just sitting at home twiddling his thumbs. He was active at doing something. And I know there was a video, a viral video at a party and a viral video at a political event. I get all of that. But he was doing something, whether it was George Floyd or whether it was checking in on the HBCU students or whatever it may have been. That's his prerogative. I get it 100%. As long as he had, when he got back, communicated and explained to his teammates in the front office, in the head coach, in the assistant coaches, and they got it, I'm fine with it. He doesn't need to explain nothing to me. I play basketball, man. Go out there and try to get a W against Cleveland. That's all I can say.
And last thing I say about Zubin is, once again, not excusing the lack of communication. or the protocols that were in place by the NBA. I think you try to do your best to follow those protocols for the safety of everybody. I think he was wrong in that regard. But in a year where, I mean, think about Karl Anthony Towns, and a lot of people may not know this. Karl Anthony Towns now for the Minnesota Timberwolves has contracted COVID, okay? He's lost 7 family members to COVID. 7 family members to COVID. So in a time where people are losing loved ones, is it the worst thing that we've ever seen that Kyrie Irving was at a birthday party with his sister? I, just to put it in perspective, right? Or keep, even if he was at home and he was doing nothing, let's just say maybe he needed a second. Is that the worst thing? I mean, granted, when people, you hear about the money and, you know, $900,000 and people are losing jobs left and right, I get how all that looks. But for the mental health aspect of it, for somebody who is complex, we're all complex to a degree, is that the worst thing? Or as my mom will say, this too shall pass.
I'm not worried about the financial ramifications of him losing
I know, I'm
money.
Just saying optically, Key, how some people will try to take it and spin it. You know what I mean?
I understand the spin doctor is amazing, but I worry about the mental health aspect of it. We all, at some times in our lives, depending on what we're doing, we get burned out for a minute. We need to take a step back. What, no matter what it is, dealing with my kids every single day, it's like, I need to, let me go downstairs and let me get 2 hours.
Exactly.
Just let me get the 2 hours and then we can all come back and chill because you need a break. I mean, think about why we have vacations here at ESPN and what we do. We go nonstop, man. At some point, I get burned out talking about the damn Nets and I get burned out talking about the Lakers and the Jets and football and it. You know, so let me just, I need a couple days to just, right? Is something wrong with that?
No, not at all. I think
as long as you know where I'm at and I'm explaining that to you, right?
For sure. And that's one thing I know you wanted to get Kyrie on to, just let your teammates know, let your coaching staff know, and it's nobody else's business. That's it. One thing I wanted to mention from the Kyrie soundbite, the audio there where we played, I think is really instructive, and it's something I heard him broach for the first time, but just because right now there's such a divide between athletes and the media that's covering athletes, with so many athletes believing today, the media's in a gotcha role. All we're looking for is that picture. All we're looking for is that Instagram post, and then we can go crazy. The one thing I thought that Kyrie said that was really instructive was he said, I'm going to paraphrase here. He said, listen, sometimes you guys don't really know what's going on. And that's true. We're only looking at his play. We don't know the whole story and we're criticizing him for not being there. But what's the second thing he said after that? He goes, and you know, sometimes guys, I don't let you in. It's a two-way street. So for the first time, Kyrie is acknowledging, yes, obviously the media is going after Kyrie. Why isn't he playing? What's he doing to his teammates? He's being paid by the Nets. All of these things from a basketball perspective. But for the first time, I heard Kyrie broach and say, you know what? Maybe, just maybe, if I let you guys in a little bit, not that I have to, as Key has always said, it's not the media's business, it's not the fans' business, but you know what? He used the word two-way street. If I let you in and you sort of understand where I'm coming from, maybe your reporting would be a little bit different. That's a bridge that I haven't seen Kyrie at all talk about until yesterday, and I think that's important.
It is, but when I let you in, and I've never let you in before, now all of a sudden, guess what you're getting ready to do?
Right.
You're getting ready to start digging because you can't help yourself.
Right.
So now I'm sitting back, and now I'm a little reserved because you want to start digging in my trash can. Everything I do, every move I make, because you need to deliver a story.
For the first time, it's opened a crack, and now we want to bust the door wide open.
And Zubin, I think this
think
also—
about it. I give you a rope, you want to be a cowboy.
Very true. But I think this also— if he addresses with teammates, I think this makes their bond stronger. I mean, everybody on this team, think about the way James Harden has been criticized most of his career, and especially the way on the way out the door with Houston, granted the way he handled it, even though he got to where he wanted to be, or Kevin Durant, you know, with Golden State, going to Golden State, you know, what's going on between him and Russell Westbrook and relationships and all these different things that have happened throughout the course of the year. Sometimes things in life force teams to come together. This could be one of those moments that force the Nets to come together.
And what's interesting that you say that, though, Jay, and I don't know this for a fact, but I would assume that throughout the course of his absence that Kyrie was in some sort of communication with somebody on that bench. I don't know who, but I just would assume. It's, yo, dog, I'm good, man. Don't even worry about me. I'm going to be back. Don't say nothing to nobody. I'm chill. This is what I'm doing. I could just assume that because you always have some sort of ally that you play with. I don't care who. It might be the last guy at the end of the bench that you don't know what the relationship is. People try to find out, but they know the relationship. And you're my guy, so I'm going to tell you what I need to tell you, Zubin. Just don't let Pete and Evan them know. Don't even say nothing. Don't tell Justin nothing. I'll be back next week. Just go to work, man. I'm good. Those conversations do take place in the locker rooms, as you know, Jay.
That being said, Key, they ain't going to see us the whole month of February, Black History Month. We're out.
We worked on Dr. King Day, so please stop. Don't even. Zubin can't do that. Zubin can't do nothing but laugh. The whole month of February, we take it off.
I'm out.
Nah, that ain't going to happen.
Nah, we'll be here.
Yeah, we're going to be working.
And the one thing I would say to Jay's point, and I think it's a great point that he made, everybody is different, but if the NBA has protocols and rules for everyone, even though Jay is 100% right,
yes.
If a guy just needs a couple hours to be with his family, and let's be honest, I mean, there are tons of people that are breaking coronavirus protocols all over the place and realize they're doing that here and there. If he needed that moment to get a break, unfortunately, the league can't treat him differently than somebody else who maybe is handling some of the issues in the country a little bit more strongly or isn't as affected as much as Kyrie. Unfortunately, there is a one-size-fits-all rule for the NBA, even though it maybe should be individualized in situations like this.
And they need to do what they need to do, that they put the protocols in place, whatever the punishment is or whatever they fine or whatever, they need to handle it accordingly.
Indeed. Let's move on this morning and talk a bunch of sports with Taylor Twellman. He's our ESPN lead soccer analyst. He's also one of the co-hosts.
Go!
Keep going. You got to hold it longer than that.
Hang on.
Drink some water. You and Zubin, drink some water.
Andres Cantor, did you just hit the SAP button on ESPN? Did you just hit the SAP
button?
Oh,
I can go. I can pipe it, though, Jay, if you really wanted me to. But
how
I don't
long
wanna...
could you go, Key? Let me see how long you can go. Go ahead. Prove it.
Go!
Wow.
Neil.
That's impressive. Oh, wow. That's impressive.
Okay, I can't. Jay, I can't hear what you just said. I'm now deaf. Jay, I can't hear a word you just said.
You got to turn your volume down.
What did you just say? I can't hear what you just said. Let's bring in our man, Taylor Twellman, ESPN's lead soccer analyst. He's described many goals throughout his career. Also, one of the new hosts of the newly resurgent Sports Nation. What's old is new again. You can see it every day streaming on ESPN+. What did you think of that? Are you shaking in your boots, do you think, Taylor? Maybe if you leave the booth, you think Key's right in with that call? Or what do you think here?
Well, here's the issue. You know when you go to a concert, I know all of us haven't gone to a concert in a long time, and you wake up the next morning and you hear the, like, that's kind of what I'm listening to right now after Key just pulled that off.
Was it good, though?
It was fantastic, my man. It was actually fantastic. It just, I may need to go see an ear doctor later, but it is what it is.
Well, you know, you've covered a lot of sports, and concussions is heavy in soccer as well as in football. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. How long should it take to recover from a concussion?
You've had quite a few, right?
Yeah, it's a great question, Key. And Zubin, to answer your question, as a pro athlete, I probably had three. And then you go back with my family and you go through, you know, college and high school and grade school, and you're being very transparent with how you go through that. I've had, you know, diagnosed concussions. I've had about six or seven of those. Mm-hmm. But that's going all the way back to when I was four. Key, that's the most important question when you look at this Mahomes thing. And I want to make this abundantly clear. You know this better than anyone. But Jay and Zubin, you know this because you guys are covering sports. It was a huge amount of progress shown from the NFL, the fact that Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes were not put back into those games. Key, you know this better than anyone. That was smelling salts, fourth quarter comeback, 3-5 years ago.
Yes.
And so when you see those two star players not being put back in, that shows you that, you know what, the NFL is actually trying to do this right. And that is a massive, massive sign. However, and this is a big however, the next stage of real progress comes to the protocol. And you guys have diagnosed the protocol. Everyone has looked at the protocols, flipped the rocks up and down looking at this protocol. And this protocol is in a microscope because of what Patrick Mahomes is going to go through. Now, all of us are pretty much going to say the same thing. We expect to see Patrick Mahomes play. Why? Because to answer Key's question, over 95% of concussions in the NFL, those players return in less than 7 days. The biggest issue with the concussion protocol is step five, full football activity and clearance. Who's going to do full football activity and clearance before an AFC championship game when you're the quarterback? Not a single soul. So the problem with the protocol is that the athlete does not fully know if he or she is ready to play because of that step five, because nobody is going to hit a quarterback as hard as they can before an AFC championship game, and quite honestly, before any NFL game, because those quarterbacks especially aren't going to know. So that first hit doesn't come until the next game, when oftentimes it may be too late, it may be too soon. That's where the next step of progress really has to come, Key. But I'm not totally sure you're going to be able to pull that off in the NFL, because during a regular season, that full football activity step, I'm not sure it really happens.
So how do you fix it, Taylor?
Oh, boy, that's an interesting one. Quite honestly, it's information and science and data that says, you know what, wait a minute. So maybe this is a 9-10-day recovery and it's not a 5-6-day recovery, Jay. That's what it is. That's transparency, which the NFL is still trying to fight through their old ways and be transparent with this injury, and they're trying to evolve. And at times we see that, like we just went over last weekend, and at times we still see the barbaric nature of the sport where you're trying to rip each other's head off, and that's the nature of the sport. So I don't know that answer, Jay. I do know, though, when you talk to neurologists around the world that are not affiliated with football, very few, if any, say, oh, yeah, no, 5-6 days is enough.
Taylor Twellman, our lead soccer analyst, co-host of Sports Nation on ESPN Plus, and a guy that has dealt with concussions throughout his soccer career, is joining us this morning on the Goodyear Hotline as we continue to talk about Patrick Mahomes and the concussion protocol leading to the AFC Championship game on Sunday. A few minutes ago, it was announced that Philip Rivers retired. 240 straight starts to end his career. The only guy with a longer stretch, the NFL's all-time Ironman, Brett Favre, at 297. And if you've watched football or ever watched Favre, you knew this guy took more hits and stood in the pocket maybe grander than anyone ever did. Knowing he was going to take shots, absorbing them, it became a part of his legend. Well, guess what? Now he's retired. Now he's over 50, and he's had a change of heart. Listen to this, Taylor. He told this yesterday to TMZ Sports, and we'll get your reaction.
I played 321 straight games. It kind of goes against everything that I stood for when I played. But you got to be smart. You got to be smart. I was never faced with a decision that he potentially will face this week. And ultimately, the decision may fall on the doctors. And if they choose that he doesn't play, then it's the right move because of long-term damage. And when you're in the moment and you're young, you're bulletproof, man. But I'm 51 years old, and I wonder what tomorrow will bring because of concussions more than anything.
Taylor, what do you make of that?
It's Brett Favre, someone that I don't think was honest with himself while he was playing. Now all of a sudden changing a tone and trying to be a messenger and trying to be honest about it. That also sounds like someone to me, guys, quite frankly, that is struggling. Struggling with his everyday life with certain things and concussions being part of that. From what I know of Mahomes, from what I know of the Kansas City Chiefs that are owned by the Hunts, which obviously own a couple, you know, the MLS teams that have been very involved in soccer, they're going to be very transparent. Mahomes in 2021 can't say he lacks education. Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Williams, Taylor Twellman, we actually can raise our hand and say, you know what? We didn't really know a ton about concussions. We knew what they were. We knew something was there. But we don't know what we know now. And so my money is also on Patrick Mahomes. He's an athlete. Here he is in 2021. He understands the magnitude of the game. But he also cannot raise his hand and say he doesn't understand the magnitude of concussions. And I'm going to have faith that Patrick Mahomes, through the entire concussion protocol, is going to be as honest as possible with the Chiefs. Guys, that's the only thing I can believe in. Because education is power. That's the one thing I wanted to change in 2008 when my career was completely taken away from me and there was no World Cups anymore. There was no going to Europe, whatever that may be. You've just got to be transparent. You've got to be honest. Athletes in 2021, they can't say they lack education. So, Zubin, that's all I can bank on with Mahomes and the Chiefs medical staff and the independent doctors, because that's the faith I have that education is power in 2021 versus 2008 when I was playing.
It's a fascinating cross-pollination talking about your experience in soccer and how it relates to football. And I totally agree with you when Favre said, I don't know what tomorrow will bring. He's saying something there, and I'm glad you picked up on it. It's great to catch up with you. You can check out Taylor and the Gang every single day, Sports Nation, streaming anytime you want on ESPN+. Plus. Taylor,
congrats,
thank
Steve.
You.
All right, T.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, boys. Uh-huh. Key, get some tea.
That's
with honey, Dolan. With honey and lemon.
It'll help the voice, no doubt. That's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests, including Taylor Twellman, joins us and joined us on the Goodyear Hotline.
No, he's totally right. Like you, when I played, man, I took some wicked shots and some wicked hits, and I went back in games when I probably shouldn't have gone back in games because I didn't know, I wasn't educated on the concussion. I wasn't forced to go back in it, but it was one of those deals where it's like, oh, man, I'm good. I'm straight. There's no fog there. I could see clearly. I understand everything that you're saying. I'm ready to get back out on the field and play.
Yeah, it's like Brett Favre said, you're young, you're impenetrable, you can feel you can get through.
No, see, look.
Is this a hit? Ooh, yeah, well, that's a hit. Oh,
boy. If you're watching on television right now, Keith.
That is a
that was
hit
a night,
against
night
the
hit.
Detroit Lions. And I came back in the game two plays later. Look at the stat line. But that is a night
Keith,
hit.
Wait, Keith. Look, your eyes are wide open during that whole time. That's the part I don't think people recognize. When you got hit, your eyes were open.
But look at my face.
It's like a blank stare.
Look what I say. Man, this damn quarterback. Man, please.
When do you
so
check
mad.
The earring? When do you check the earring?
I checked it when I got to the sideline. You know, I checked it, had to. Just make sure the earring was still in. Now, I had a little bit of a headache, as I remember, but it wasn't to the degree where I could not play. You would have quit right there, J. Will.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, you would have checked out and said, I'm done. I can't play football no more.
Zubin, this body is not built for that life.
By the way, for our radio listeners, if you want to just catch it later, literally go to YouTube and put in literally these words. Keyshawn Johnson gets destroyed.
I'm serious.
Put that into YouTube.
I did get destroyed, but I bounced back up and kept it moving.
And we'll keep it moving on the way. So how does this breaking news about Phil Rivers' retirement impact, you know, the NFL is so twisted in so many ways, impacted the Jets possibly getting Deshaun Watson, the retirement of a Colt affecting the Jets trying to get a Texan? The answer from the biggest Jets fan we have. Greeny is next on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin right here on ESPN Radio.
Wednesday, we're counting down the days towards the NFL's Final Four, and we'll do it with a Hall of Famer, one of the great linebackers of all time, Mike Singletary, among my guests. It's Greeny, starting 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN+. Plus.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Good morning. I'm Zubin Mehenti here with your SportsCenter update. Greeny here in 1 minute to talk about the retirement of Philip Rivers and what it might mean for his team, Gang Green. The team that's making waves in baseball this morning, the Blue Jays, who have signed George Springer to a six-year, $150 million deal. It's only the second $100 million deal ever handed out by the Jays. Trivia time. Vernon Wells, $126 million. back in the day. Back in the day, Tiger Woods had a microdiscectomy, back surgery. It's happening again. He's going to end up missing the next two events, which is really a shame because one is the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines, an event he has won seven times. And if you're a golf fan, you remember the epic 08 U.S. Open win at Torrey Pines on one leg. The next event he's going to miss, also a shame, it's the Genesis Invitational, which has been sponsored by the Tiger Woods Foundation. We'll hope Eldrick gets back out there quickly, but those are a couple of tough ones. Great memories at those places in Southern Cal, but hopefully we'll see Tiger back sooner rather than later. And sooner rather than later, the Atlanta Dream of the WNBA will be sold. As you may know, they have been owned for about the last 10 or 11 years by outgoing U.S. Senator Kelly Loeffler. She lost a runoff election in the state of Georgia. Her team was adamantly opposed to some of her political views, although the WNBA said they would not force her to sell, but there are five bidders and one of them will take over the Atlanta Dream of the WNBA. And SportsCenter is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Look, we all accidentally damage our phones. It happens. Now, Straight Talk Wireless' new Platinum Unlimited plan includes phone protection, just $65 a month for unlimited talk, text, data, and more. See mobile protect terms and conditions at Asurion.com/Straight Talk. Limitations and exclusions apply. As Dan Orlovsky said on our show, when you're 25 and in the prime of your career, there should be about 25 teams immediately making calls to the Houston Texans. We call on our man Greeny, joining us from 250 feet around the corner this morning on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike, of course, is the host of Greeny, which you can see 10 a.m. Eastern time or listen to at 10 a.m. Eastern time on many of these ESPN radio stations. Mike, I want to kind of get your thoughts on the retirement of Philip Rivers. So that opens up an opportunity for Deshaun Watson to maybe go to another suitor, another team like Indy. Granted, it's in the division. I totally get that. So it kind of maybe wouldn't have the cachet it would normally have. Maybe it doesn't get deal done for that specific reason. But how do you think it affects the Jets as you've got now one more team that has a quarterback opening?
Well, I mean, he either is going to be interested in being on the Jets or he isn't. And I'm not sure what the Indianapolis Colts opening will have to do with that. If Deshaun Watson decides he wants, at the end of the day, Deshaun is going to have a lot to say about where he goes because of his no trade clause. I'm not telling you guys anything you don't already know. The Colts, to me, if I'm a quarterback looking for a place to go and try and win a championship, that feels like about as good an option as you could possibly have in the NFL. You play your home games in a dome. They have an excellent defense. They have an excellent offensive line. They have a young weapon on the outside who's improving, and T.Y. is still pretty good. I think that would be a very attractive option, not only for Deshaun, but for someone like Matt Stafford, if he's looking for a place to go to. And then the question that I think will be most interesting, Keyshawn, is Carson Wentz. I would assume that based upon the firing of Doug Peterson and everything else that has happened there, that there is no conceivable chance that the Eagles trade Wentz. But the combination of Wentz, the connection of Wentz to Frank Reich, is one that we put together before they made the big changes in Philadelphia, and it seems at least worth bringing up again today.
Yeah, it could have some merit, obviously, depending on what they're looking to the Indianapolis to give up for Carson Wentz. But let me ask you about the New York Jets and the possibility to Deshaun Watson, a lifelong Jet fan that you are. How excited are the possibility that Deshaun Watson could somehow wind up in New York?
Well, how excited can you be? I mean, what is the maximum that you're offering me? Like, if this is on a scale of 1 to 10, I would put it at about 16. Look, when you're a fan of the Jets, these are like the best things that generally happen to us. Like, once the season starts, everything almost always goes to hell in a handbasket. So the best thing that happens to us is that there are rumors we might wind up with Deshaun Watson, and he likes a photo of himself in a Jet uniform on Instagram. That's about the apex of Jet fandom these days. Look, the reality is, as Adam Schefter tweeted over the weekend, there is no team that could offer the Texans more for Deshaun Watson than the Jets can if they choose to. That doesn't mean that Deshaun wants to come here. The picture that he liked on Instagram sort of led us down that path, and that would obviously be phenomenal. If he wants to come here, this probably is where he will wind up, and it would be spectacular. He is a quarterback who is already a top five player in the league and probably hasn't even entered his prime yet. Plus, he has absolutely every intangible you could ever ask for. You don't need me to tell you how great he is. So certainly, whatever it is the Jets need to give up to get him, I would be in full favor of doing.
Why do you think Robert Saleh is the best coach for the Jets post-Adam Gase era?
Well, I mean, first of all, no two people could be more diametrically opposed to each other, right? They just seem to be completely different people. And the second is that now there's one thing that we can say every single week going into a game as fans of the Jets. Our coach is cooler looking than your coach. There is no cooler looking coach in the entire sport, I think, than Saleh. And look, I mean, I will just take the word of Richard Seymour and everybody else who has played for him and been around him. And I will tell you, too, I trust you guys saw this story. I saw it in the New York Post over the weekend, but I'm sure it was in a lot of places about his life experience. He's a guy whose brother was almost killed in the World Trade Center. And at that time, Robert Saleh had sort of chosen a path in his life in which he was going to be working in desk jobs, much safer path, and decided after his brother's near-death experience that he wanted to go pursue his dream. He wanted to live something that he was passionate about. And so there's something about that that I like. There's something about the fact that he was one who had other options in his life and found his way back to football and now has risen to this extraordinary level. There are just a lot of things about him I like. So is there any reason, is there any way to know with certainty he's going to do a great job? Obviously not. And mostly it will be determined by the players that wind up playing for him. But from what I've seen so far, I couldn't be happier with the choice that they made.
Greeny, your name is no longer Mike Greenberg. Your name is Nick Caserio. How do you save the Texans situation with Deshaun Watson? How would you do it?
Well, I mean, look, it seems to me as though something has happened there, and these are things that I believe will come out, that Deshaun feels is irreparable, or things have happened that are irreparable. They clearly go well beyond bad personnel decisions and trading away DeAndre Hopkins. And I think they even go beyond what he considered to be the slap in the face of suggesting you were going to be looking for his input when you made these big decisions and then not doing so. I think that the problems go deeper than that. That's just what you hear. You guys all know what I'm talking about. We all hear the same things, perhaps from different people. If that is the case, I think that you need to sit down with him if you are a person who doesn't have anything to do with that. I mean, presumably, Nick Caserio showed up a week ago. He has nothing to do with any of that. And just say, Deshaun, what's it going to take? At the end of the day, you and I need to be partners in this thing. This is your franchise. We might as well be called the Houston Watsons at this point because you are overwhelmingly the best and most important thing we have. What is it going to take to make you want to be here? And if ultimately the answer comes back, it is completely impossible, then look, there are worse things you can be than a 4-12 team with who has the best trading chip of all time. This will be the biggest trade in NFL history. When you consider who Watson is, what he is, and where he is in his career, there has never been a trade as meaningful as this. So you can completely remake your team in one fell swoop. So as devastating as trading away a great player like Deshaun is, the fact that you have the ability with all the years left on his contract to get as much back as you can means you're not in a position of absolutely zero leverage. So my first option would be to say to him, you tell me, Deshaun, what do I do to make you want to stay here? Help me help you. And if ultimately the answer comes back, there is no conceivable way, well, then you have, I guess, until April to figure out a trade, and you should be getting back exactly what I just heard Mike Tannenbaum saying as you were introducing me. Three number ones and one or two other really good young players, and you remake your roster on the fly, and you see where you go from there.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. Potentially the biggest trade in NFL history as they go from the Oilers to the Texans to the Watsons, and in 21 minutes we'll change you from Caserio back to Greeny. Mike will have Mike Singletary, the Hall of Famer, join him at 10:15 a.m. Eastern, and Matt Light an hour later. He's had some very interesting comments this year about Bill Belichick and what the Pats have done, and obviously the insight into Tom Brady. That's coming up 10 a.m. Eastern on many of these ESPN radio stations. Greeny, thank you very much.
Not only that, but Jay Will, your appearance today on Get Up gave me another segment. I'm going to tell you the one thing no one is saying about Kyrie Irving that you need to listen to. I'll say something about Kyrie Irving I haven't heard anyone else say that I think is the most important thing to say about him this season.
That's why he's the top teaser in all of broadcasting. I've heard that 1,000 times since I've worked there, but it's true, every single one of them. Greeny, we will see you at the top of the hour. Appreciate it.
I'll be tuning in, Greeny.
Thank you, fellas. Good to see you.
Same to you. All right. On the way, Philip Rivers has retired. The guy that coached him for nearly 100 games in his NFL career, Norv Turner, joins us next.
There's nothing wrong with being a third pick in the draft, Zubin. It makes a lot of money, okay? I've accepted that as the second pick.
You got to have three men for a three-man weave.
Yes, you do, brother.
Right? You can't do the three-man weave unless I'm pulling up the wagon.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
But in all honesty, it's one really big thing. Phillip Rivers, probably the most statistically accomplished quarterback that has not played in the Super Bowl, has retired, but he'll be on his way to Canton sooner or later. And for a little more perspective, Key, we're going to welcome in a guy that coached Phillip Rivers for 6 years for nearly 100 games, 96 regular season games. They had great playoff magic together, Norv Turner.
How you doing there, Coach? Long time.
Hey, it's been a long time. How are you guys?
We're doing good, man. Let me ask you, how surprised were you that Phillip, after playing so well this season, especially down the stretch, made a decision to move on with his life?
Well, it caught me off guard this morning. I've gotten a number of calls. You knew that it was in his thought process, something he's talked about the last couple of years, taking it year by year. And he's got 9 kids at home. I'm sure his wife is pulling at him to get back home and help out. So I was surprised the way he played. I thought he would give it another run, but he had a great career.
You coached him for a long time there in San Diego with the Chargers. Tell us what would be the most memorable moment that you had with Phillip.
Well, there's so many great moments with Phillip. We won the division the first 3 years we were there together, and he had such great production the entire time we were there. And the last couple of years we got real thin in the offensive line, and he just he didn't let him phase him. He just fought through it and competed. And he's as anyone who watches him knows, he's a true warrior. But the one that has to jump out is we beat Indianapolis with Peyton and those guys. It was an unbelievable game, and Phillip got hurt late in the game. Had an unbelievable day, throwing touchdown passes. I think he brought us from behind 3 times in the game before he got hurt. But he had his knee scoped on Monday and didn't practice till Friday. They had him, hooked up to some machine that kept his knee moving so it wouldn't swell and tighten up and all that. And then, we went into New England he played his butt off, and he competed as at a high level as you can. And, we gave him a heck of a run that night up against some pretty stiff odds. That was their undefeated team. But just seeing him go through that week, I'll never forget that.
Coach, I just want to quickly mention that game you're talking about against the Pats 13 years ago today. So a little symmetry with Phillip Rivers retiring. Jay?
That's amazing. I'm still thawing out from that game 13
years
later.
It was cold out.
But I tell you one thing, there's a play, in it. I saw Vrabel's comments on the ball that was intercepted. He thought should have been pass interference when he questioned the official. Well, Vrabel's the guy that leg whipped Phillip. And Asante Samuel intercepted the ball. Phillip couldn't get anything on it. He had a guy's leg swiping his legs out from underneath him. And I always give Vrabel a bad time that, you know, if they called that penalty, we would have had the ball at midfield and they wouldn't have had the ball. And that was one of their touchdown drives. So, you know, it's funny how karma and what goes around comes around, right?
Yep.
Coach, how do you respond to people? And I hate this because Key and I both thought you can do so many things throughout the course of your career that can warrant greatness. But when people only through their mind see greatness with winning championships, how do you respond to people when they say, well, Phillip Rivers never won it. He never won it. How do you respond to that?
You know, it's a tough one because, you know, that's what, you know, when you sign up and you go to a team, whoever it is, you see all these new coaches this year. There's one goal in mind, and that's to go win a Super Bowl. You know, the reality of it is, you know, there's only one team that's gonna win it. And, you know, Phillip was in an era where there was a team that's won six of them, you know, over his 17-year career. You know, they've kind of, New England's kind of dominated, and there's a lot of things that go into it. I think Phillip, through most of his career, has played at a championship level. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't end the way you want it to, but there's no question his production and everything he's done, you know, he's played at a championship level, and you can't deny, you know, he's fifth in all-time yardage, all the things, the number of starts in a row, second to Favre in that area. There's too many things that are at championship level, and I know being with them those 6 years and watching them compete, and you know he's the reason we won a lot of those games, and you know he's very, very deserving of any of the acknowledgments he gets, and I see him as a Hall of Fame quarterback.
I would concur. Great trip down memory lane, Coach. Really appreciate you joining us, helping to put into perspective the career of one of the best quarterbacks of his era. Thank you, Coach.
Don't stay away too long, okay, now, Norv.
Okay, I'll see you, Key.
All right, but
it's been a long time.
Uh-huh.
Great to have him back. I want to go back to that 2007 postseason, and we talked about how things always come full circle with the idea that that game that everybody referenced, the game Jay referenced 6 days after the scope, was 13 years ago to the day. That playoff run, that magical playoff run, which could have ended a little bit different for the Chargers, it actually started, believe it or not, with a win over the Tennessee Titans, who's the team, of course, that just edged the Colts and Phillip Rivers this year to win the division. Then, of course, we're talking about the Colts, the team that Phillip Rivers ended his career with. You heard Norv say the great battle with Peyton Manning. And then 21-12 on January 20th, 13 years ago. And he'll be in Canton sooner rather than later. The production, the numbers are mind-boggling.
Yeah, he's certainly a Hall of Fame quarterback. Now, whether he goes in first ballot or whatever, gold jacket is a gold jacket. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate that they didn't win it all with LaDainian Tomlinson when he was there, and they had Antonio Gates there. And so when you look at it, Jackson at the receiver. So they had a lot of great pieces, yeah. Vincent Jackson. They had a lot of great pieces in San Diego. They just kept coming up short.
Zubin, the last thing I'll just say on Phillip Rivers is, you know, from people that have played the game who get a sense of how difficult it is to win a championship, and how there is an element of luck that everything needs to go exactly correct to do that. You recognize that greatness isn't always reflected in rings that you get. It's longevity also in this career speaks volumes about who you are and how you play. That longevity is very important.
Yeah, things are changing. We've talked about it all morning, but at its core, football is a game of toughness. And if you told me you started 240 consecutive games in the National Football League, that is an eye-popping figure. Greeny is next on many of these ESPN radio stations. He'll talk to the Hall of Famer Mike Singletary. He'll also talk to the former Pats offensive lineman Matt Leit. He'll reflect on Belichick's tough year and, of course, what lies ahead for Tom Brady. We will see you tomorrow with Key's partner this weekend, the one and only Chris Berman. Greeny up next.